Let's stand as we read tonight's scripture, found in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17, and we'll read responsively tonight as it is our custom to do. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me as it is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your will. For you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, for your will that you impart on us spiritual gifts, thank you for salvation. And thank you for the greatest gift of all, being redeemed, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us through our preacher tonight. Thank you for him, for his family. We pray you bless him and strengthen him, even be with his dad as he travels tonight, Lord, or tomorrow. But tonight be with us and open our hearts that we might hear the word of God. Respond to it out of love and respond to it out of obedience. That through it all, Lord Jesus, we glorify you and we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Of course, I think before I get started, I am going to peel this. It's a little warm for me. I'm about 4 feet higher than you are, so I am gonna shed my jacket here. I promise you that's as far as I will go. But this morning, I preached part one of my message tonight, what every Christian should be. I don't always do that. I think I've done it one other time here in my ministry here. And there was just a lot of notes here, and I think I'd probably still be preaching tonight if I'd gone ahead and did it all this morning. But I want to preach part two. I'll just go ahead and brush over, recap real quick on what every Christian should be that we have discussed this morning. Of course, the book in Romans, as much of the New Testament, is written probably by one of the most spiritual men ever that's walked this earth. That's the Apostle Paul. The book of Romans is written by Paul. Acts chapter 9 tells about his Damascus Road experience. That's his salvation experience. And I hope and I pray that everybody here, you have that salvation experience. You may think tonight that you can get away with it. You may think tonight that I can hold off for a little while. You may think tonight that I'm not ready. I'll do it tomorrow, whatever. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you may sit here tonight, I don't even believe the Bible, I don't even believe this, but I will say, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess one day. And Paul, Saul, in Acts chapter 9, was a very wicked man, and he knows what it's like to have his knee bow and his tongue confess. He was a very wicked man before he got saved, but when he got saved, there was no holding him back. When he got saved, he was a changed man. When he got saved, he had literally, though an imperfect man, though robed in flesh just like you and I, but he worked on his testimony that it would be pleasing to Christ. The Apostle Paul surely was a man of godly character, and I think is a mirror of who we ought to be in the Christian life. Of course, right here in chapter 1, he discusses who he is. He so desires to get to the people in Rome, the church at Rome, if you will, He discusses who he is by letter. The Romans here tells him about himself. He tells him about his message and purpose and the gospel of grace. And in the verses that we read, that Brother Robles read a little while ago, he turns a spotlight on himself. He tells people whom he never met the motives behind this letter. Paul reveals several important traits of genuine Christian character that teach us in no uncertain terms what every Christian ought to be. And I think Paul is well qualified to be able to have written what he wrote here, obviously. So this evening we're going to walk through, again, we're going to walk through this chapter. We're going to finish it up tonight. I have 10 qualities or 10 characteristics of what Paul teaches us here that a Christian ought to be. This morning I discussed that every Christian ought to be thankful. Boy, we have so much to be thankful for. The very fact that you have life tonight, you ought to thank God that you breathed another breath today. Thank God for your church. Thank God for that lady that's your wife beside you. Thank God for that man that's your husband beside you. Thank God for them children that you have. Thank God for your ministry. Thank God for your job. There's so much that we could be thankful for. And then he goes on and he discusses not just having a thankful spirit, but to have a committed spirit. Paul is telling these believers that he's committed unto the Lord. We found that in verse 9a, that he is committed unto the Lord. There is no turning back in the life of the Apostle Paul. We need old-fashioned commitment in our Christian life again. We need people that just go ahead and push their own desires aside and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll go ahead and do it. God, wherever you lead me, I will follow. I'll put you first and foremost. I want to have that spirit, if you will, that you are the center of all I do, and I'll push myself out of the way. And you'll be amazed how, if you commit your life to Christ, you'll be amazed how some things will turn out differently in your life. You'll be amazed how when you go ahead and you just say, okay, God, I'll give you all. I'll give you everything I got. You'll be amazed what God will do. A committed soldier does not quit with the task at hand. Otherwise, he's a coward. You know, people, you know what? You sign up for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and so forth. You have boot camp and so forth, and there are some people that just can't make it and so on. The truth of the matter is, we are a soldier of Jesus Christ. We ought to have that no-quit attitude. Okay, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Don't quit. You know, you got children to go ahead and parent. You don't quit parenting them children. Okay, you're the parents of that child, and you know what? What you tell them to do, they ought to do it. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You be the one that provides structure for them. You know. Let me just say this by way of a little rabbit trail here. Your music ought to be your children's music. You know what we say? Well, you know, we just can't help kids today. We can't do this today. You know what? They have their music. No. You live under a godly roof, a godly family, and so forth. You know what, parent? You are in charge to go ahead and provide structure for that kid. And you know what? You provide them. It's not their music. It's not what the world goes ahead. You know what? It is your music. You buy them the kind of music that you know you ought to listen to. You know, it's not their life. You know, the truth, you know, and some people will say, well, I'm glad I wasn't raised in your household. Probably I'm pretty pleased about that too. Amen. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? What is played in my house, I know about. What is played on that box that's in the center of the television, I know about it. It's my house, and it's our TV, and I go ahead and I scan everything that is watched. And people say, well, I just, you know, whatever the case may be. Hey, you know what? I want to raise some young soldiers for Jesus Christ. And by the way, my kids aren't perfect. None of our kids are perfect, but we ought to do everything we can. You know, we need to provide the umbrella of authority and protection for them. You know, we need to do it. We need to be committed to what God has given us. You know, I have a family. I'm committed to what God has given me. A soldier of Jesus Christ is committed. He looks for possibilities instead of impossibilities. Why? Because nothing's impossible with God. A soldier will look for opportunities instead of lack of opportunities. A soldier has good character. Boy, Paul, man, what a man of character. You know, and the truth of the matter is, I think studying Paul a little bit, he was not all that big a guy. You know, he was kind of maybe Brother Howes used to describe him as probably a short little guy with a little squeaky voice and some sort of thorn in his flesh. And I remember Brother Howes teaching, he thought maybe the thorn in the flesh might have been the fact that his eyesight wasn't very good due to the scales that was in his eyes and so forth, whatever the case may be. But he had a thorn in the flesh, whatever the case. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? This little guy, however big or however small he was, you know, he was a man of grit. You know, and that's what we need. We need some commitment today. We need a no-quit attitude. We need to not quit church at every little whim. We need to not quit our Bible at every little whim. When things don't go our way, you know, it seems like the first thing we want to quit. You know, quit this. You know, we quit the very things that'll help us through the mess that we're going through. You know, no quit. Number three, every Christian should be prayerful. He said in verse 9b, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. Paul had a ministry of prayer. He had a ministry of intercessory prayer. Our church, you know, I like the fact that we pray together Wednesday nights. I mean, I'm not saying just me getting up here and so forth and praying a big long prayer. I thank God that we take time, teenagers pray together, families pray together, husbands, wives, and whatever the case may be, pray together. I like that prayer time. And we ought to be praying for one another. That's why we take prayer requests and so forth. I kind of taught a little bit on the prayer list that I think Paul had that he prayed for on behalf of the Roman people and so forth. In Ephesians 3, we talked about it this morning. Colossians chapter 1, we talked about it. And he had a prayer life. He had a prayerful spirit. And then he also had a surrendered spirit. That's where I stopped this morning, and I'll kind of pick up. I started with this next point. Number five, every Christian should be usable. Every Christian should be usable. The Bible says in verse number 11, the Bible says right here, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. You know what? I want to give you something. Hey, you know, he was telling the people there, you know, there's some things that God has given me. There's some things that God has given me. There's some spiritual gifts, if you will, that God has given me. I want to come and teach you some things. I want to go ahead and teach you some things that will help you grow and become stronger and become what you want to be. I want you to be more usable. I want you to be more pliable in the hand of God. He was saying, he was teaching them that every Christian ought to be usable. He's saying he desires to see you. The real reason is so that he could go ahead and come and teach you the many good things that God has taught me so that you may grow. He says, God has blessed me with some gifts. I want to share them with you. It tells me that in no uncertain terms that all Paul wanted to do wanted God to do with him is use him in the work for God. He would say, I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. He says, for I long to see you. I want to be there. I can't wait to meet you. I don't know who you are, church in Rome. I have no clue who you are. If you ran across me along the road, I wouldn't know who you are, but I so desire to be there. I want to impart some gifts unto you. I want to teach you some things. These gifts that Paul wanted to share were not actual gifts. We're not actual gifts of the Spirit. They can only be given by the Spirit of God. But these gifts was referring to the gift of salvation. He wanted to go ahead and teach him more about salvation. You know, it's much like conferences that we have today, if you will. You know, if you want to consider Paul a conference speaker, he kind of, well, he liked to go church to church and check on the churches that he went ahead and started and so forth and come in and maybe give them a little shot in the arm. You know, if you want, it's like when I go to a conference, you know, I go, I want to learn something. I want God to go ahead and prompt my spirit and so forth. And I want to go ahead and learn some things from that great man of God or whatever the case may be so that I can go ahead and bring it back and do something great for God here. These gifts were referring to the gift of salvation. He was saying, I think I want to teach you to be a better soul winner. I want to teach you to have a little bit of grit. I want to teach you to go ahead and stick with it. I want to teach you not to quit in the day of battle. I just want to go ahead and teach you some things. God has given me some things that I want to go ahead and give you. Hey, listen up, bro. Listen up. I want to teach you some things. Hey, let me just stop and say this. You know what? When you come to church, I say it often. When you come to church, you ought to come with a prepared heart. You ought to come with a desire. God, you do something in my heart. Not because of some lack of eloquent preacher like me is preaching. Not because of whatever the case may be, or my finesse, or whatever the case may be. Hey, you ought to come with a prepared heart. Say, God, you do something in my heart. You know, way too many Christians. You know why we quit? We don't come prepared. We don't come with a desire. Lord, move in my heart. May I ask you a question, church? Did you come to church this morning before you got here? Did you have a season of prayer saying, Lord, move my heart? Move my heart. You know, we ought to come with a desire. You know what? The preacher is going to be preaching the almighty word of God. God, teach me something. I want to grow. I want to be able to stand the test when the test comes and so forth. Hey, Paul wanted to go ahead and teach him something. He didn't want to be a stumbling block. He didn't want to go ahead and be a stumbling block. You know, I pray. I don't want to be a stumbling block. You know, when I took this church, you know, I was scared. You know, I thought, this is a whole different life, man. You know, from being assistant pastor to being top dog, if you want to put it that way. And I was scared. You know, and I, you know, and when I said yes, like, you know, after I called Brother Joe back, when I said yes, I remember hanging up. I said, what did I do? I did. I was in my office there in Maine, and I had the office tightly closed. I didn't want to hear any kids. I didn't want to hear anything. I said, you know, Brother Joe, of course, he was anxiously away. He probably was wondering, is he ever going to call back? Or did I only see him that one time and then we're never going to see him? I don't know. But the truth is, I finally called back and said, well, Brother Joe, I'm coming. I'll take it. And we talked a little bit, hung up, and I go, what in the world? You know, and I'll tell you know what the first thing I thought of? Man, God, I don't want to be a stumbling block to them people. God, me, God, I want to be able to help them people. You know, and I was in my office for quite a while, and there were some tears, and there was some fear, there was different things. It was just something that just me and God shared. But God, I don't know, what in the world am I doing? You know, and I got just really dwelling on that a little bit, and you know, the peace of God just kind of came over my heart, said everything's all right. Everything's going to be all right. And, you know, Paul, you know, I don't think, you know, he came and he longed to see them and he wanted to impart some things to them. He wanted to go ahead and teach them some things that God has taught him through the years of ministry and different things. And he didn't want to be a stumbling block and so forth. You know, let me just say this, teacher. You know what? Whether you have 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 kids or whoever that it is that God's giving you to minister. Boy, that's a precious work. You know, and let me tell you, teacher, I can't express to you more enough that you ought to go and you ought to be prepared for that class. You know, you have little lives that God is allowing you to go ahead and put into your hand and help and make and mold them to have them be what God wants them to be. You're part of their life. And you know, and teacher, you know, I want to just challenge you. Don't be nonchalant about it. Don't be nonchalant about that ministry that God has given you. You know what? Go with the understanding that I got little lies. God, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be somebody that I'm not. God, I want to go in with a prepared heart, and I want them to know that. I want them to be able to look me in the eyes, say, and know that I love them, that I care for them, and that I want God's best for them. I want to go with a prepared. My lesson's prepared. Everything's all set. My room's all set. I want them to know that. I don't want to be a stumbling block. You know what? It's great to be used of God. You know, teacher, if you're a teacher, boy, it's great to be used that way. People will say, well, I don't want to be used. That's just a lousy term. No, no. When you are used by the mighty, almighty hand of God, that's a wonderful place to be. But when you get to go ahead and you get to be a part of challenging lives for the cause of Christ, that's a wonderful thing. You know what, you moms and dads, you got them precious kids in your home. You know what, you have a chance to be used of God to help teach them the ways of the Lord and help teach them how to live right and help teach them to go on and be what they what God wants them to be. Hey, you know what, there's nothing better than to be used. And you know what, it's nice when you can look down the road. You know, and I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, had kids all grown up and so forth. And he was telling me, he says, Brother Sean, from our old church up there, and a lot of them still call me Brother Sean. But Brother Sean, he says, you know, he says, it's wonderful to see all my kids are serving God. He says, it's wonderful to see. He said it again. He says, man, it's just great. He wasn't bragging. But he says, you know what? It's just wonderful to see that all my kids are serving God some capacity. And I go, you know, that's an accomplishment. It really is. This day and age where there's so much different things to go ahead and draw our young people away and so forth. You know what? I said, you know, sir, I said, that's a wonderful thing. I said, you know what? God used you for that. God allows you to be used in the lives of your kids. You were consistent on that bus route. You were a consistent deacon. You were consistent in your place and so forth. You were just there, and you raised your kids up in church. You know, church shouldn't be a decision. You know, I got thinking about it on the way home a little bit last night, talking to this man and thinking about my message and so forth, how God used this man and so forth. You know what? Church wasn't a decision in his home. church, you know, I'll say it's not a decision in my home, especially once I got my heart right and so forth and different things and got on fire for God to go towards His will and so forth. You know what? Church, you know, I think my kids could honestly say church is just not, we go to church. It's just the way it is. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, we're structured that way. They know what's going to happen and so forth and so on. They know what dad's what to expect from mom and dad. They know really surprises and different things. They just know what's going on. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, it's just wonderful. What I'm trying to say tonight, it's wonderful to be used. It's just wonderful to be used. Hey, you know what? He was teaching the people, you know what, to be usable. Paul wanted them, I wanted to teach them what he has been taught. That's why we ought to come to church with a prepared heart and come to Sunday school, that you may learn more and how to love and act as a Christian, to strengthen your Christian walk, to help you understand how to be used of God. Being used of God is not a bad thing. It's not a bad term. We ought to set a goal of letting God use us. Teenager, right now, you ought to decide, and a lot of you've made a purity pact and so forth. You decide, I'm going to live pure. I'm going to live clean. I'm going to listen to the right music. I love the fact that, you know, they'll have their little iPods on, and to my knowledge, there's nothing questionable on there. I think there's stuff that I believe there's stuff on there that their preacher, that their mom and daddy, godly mom and daddy, want them to listen to. They got them on. They're not bebopping to MC Hammer and all this. They're singing, you know, Jesus love, whatever, some godly music. You know, that speaks volumes, and I thank God for that. And let me say, teenager, don't ever let the world say, you know, you want to be used of God? You want to be a preacher? You want to live clean and pure? You want to go ahead and do this? You want to go ahead and do that for God? You want to read your Bible? You want to dress up for church? You want to be a preacher? You want to serve God? You know, don't you go ahead and let them tell you that's not worth it. Hey, you teenagers, you live clean, and you live pure, and you just continue to do right. Moms and dads, you be consistent in the lives of them young people. You teach them, thus saith the Lord. You teach them the right ways. Don't let church be a decision in your house. Say, hey, you know what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're going to church. We're going to be in our place. I want you to teach you the importance of church. I want you to teach you the importance of loving the man of God, if you will. Loving preaching. Getting in the Sunday school class. Getting in the youth group. Getting in the programs of the church. Hey, you know what, parents? You be consistent. Hey, you be used to help your children so they can be used of God one day. Hey, listen. Listen, be usable. Allow God to make you a vessel fit for His use. Can you say in your life right now that you're a vessel that God can use? Or does something need to be weeded out? You know, 2 Timothy 2:21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge or cleanse himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Well, these are some great terms. Shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, is there some things in your life this evening that God needs to? Can you say, I'm fit for the master's use? I am where God wants me to be, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. Hey, if Jesus would walk through that back door and He went ahead and pointed to you, would He be able to point you out to do something big for Him? Or is there some things in your life that ought to be weeded out? Some things in your life that you kind of negotiate with God a little bit and say, well, God, you know what? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know what? I'm not going to live sold out for you. Oh, how sad that is. How sad that is when we don't want to go ahead and be sold out for a God who's sold out for you. It's so sad when I see teenagers, they'll go by the wayside simply because they didn't want to listen to the man of God, the preaching, and allow the word of God to touch their hearts. You know, it breaks my heart when I see them go down over the wayside and so forth, and I always let them know I'm always here for you. I'll be here when you need me, and they know who they can go ahead and call. But the truth of the matter is it's a sad thing when they go down over the wayside and so forth, and disallowing them to be totally what God wants them to be. Disallowing them to go ahead and be all that God wants them to be. Let me just say this. You know what? Purity, teenagers, very, very important. You know, don't you just allow yourself to rub up against any guy or any girl out there just because it feels good and so forth. You're not guaranteed. You know, let me tell you something. That girl that you think that is so wonderful right now, she's going to be somebody's wife someday. And you want to go ahead and right now smother her with all your so-called lust. It's, that's what it is. All your lust and so forth. Hey, girl, you want to go ahead and entice that guy and smother him with all your lust and so forth. And you think, well, you know what? I'm going to marry him. You don't know whether you're going to marry him one day. You don't know. And the truth is, you want to go ahead and defile that person. Someone that's going to be somebody else's spouse perhaps one day. And listen, you know what? Live clean and pure. Hey, you be fit for the master's use. You allow God to go ahead and use you. You cleanse yourself from the world. Allow God to go ahead and take that pruning knife, as I talked several weeks back. Say, man, I want to make you better. But I've got you in my hand. Allow him to take that pruning knife out and make you better. Cut away some things. Stop negotiating with God and say, okay, God, I'm not going to be sold out for you. I'll go to church this time and so forth. I'll go ahead and do this and so forth. I'll do this when I want to. I'll go to church on Easter Sunday or Christmas Day or whatever. Hey, why don't you just decide, be fit for the master's use. Why don't you just decide that allow God to go ahead and make you be what you want, what he wants you to be. Hey, you know, that's the happiest position to be in, my friend. That's the happiest position to be in. Is there something in your life that's limiting you from God, limiting God from using you? Are you making a deal with God? Are you limited for usefulness? No greater place to be than allowing God to use you. You know, the Bible says, turn to 1 Corinthians. These are familiar verses, but very pungent verses. If we allow the word of God to speak to our hearts, you know what? If you would just, every teenager, if every adult, all of us, you know, our eyes will have a tendency to wander. You know, it doesn't matter who we are in this room. You know what? We got to keep our guard up. You know, got so many technology, so much junk out there today. You know, let me tell you, let's read this scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "What know ye not? That your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." Verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, I'm saved today. You know, I belong to God. I belong to God. That means, you know, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. You know, that means that I am not free to go ahead and do what I want to do. You know, that means that I better be very careful, because let me tell you something, the old devil would like to knock this preacher down. He'd like to knock down any godly family tonight. He'd like to knock down any godly teenager tonight. That means that I belong to God, so I better go ahead and guard my eyes. I better keep that guard up. I better watch out for the internet. I better watch out for the Hollywood crowd. I better watch out for the music that God that's out there that goes in my ears, the ears that God created, the mind that God went ahead and created. I better be very careful, because let me tell you something. Hey, I'm not my own. The Bible says, God says it right here. What know ye not that you are your body? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You know what? That means the very music, that junk music, that pornography, all of that you put in that your mind as a saved individual. You know what? You are God's, and He sees that. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I wonder what He thinks when you are taking the eyes that He gave you and you're looking at it. You think the Holy Spirit said, "Woo!" He's grieved. You know, I'm going to turn to it. This sermon, who knows where I'm going to finish this. But you know, when Noah was called of God to go ahead and build an ark, I can't turn to it right now. For some reason, I can't get there in my mind. It's in Genesis, obviously. But when Noah went ahead, God commanded to build an ark. I'm going to destroy the world with rain. Element from the sky they were never seen before. The Bible says, previous to that, that God looked upon the world and He saw their wickedness. The Bible said He was grieved in His heart. God was grieved in His heart. You know what that word grieve means? It means to literally be cut at the heart. God looked down upon His creation. I'm going to take this red mic for a minute. down upon his creation. The creation that he made. Mankind. Of course, sin entered into the world back in the Garden of Eden and so forth. And I don't know. Maybe God just never... I don't know whether he thought it would ever get that bad or whatever, but he looked down at all the wickedness that was going on in the world at that time. The Bible says, and again, if you want me to find it sometime, I will, and I'll show you it and do a little research or whatever yourself. But the Bible says that when he saw the wickedness, he was grieved in his heart. He was literally cut at the heart. You know, God was grieved. So that tells me that if he was grieved at the wickedness of mankind who knew not God, I wonder how he feels when his own child, who claims to be saved, who claims to be born again, I wonder how he feels when we go ahead and decide to break his law. Say, I want to live my way. I want to live doing things my way. I want to go ahead and it's my way. It's not, question authority. I'm not going to pay attention to authority and so forth and all that. I wonder what he thinks. I think the Bible pretty much clears it up here in our passage that we read a while ago in 1 Corinthians. I think it's pretty much settled there. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Is God glorified? Let me ask you a question now, church, tonight. Doesn't matter who we are tonight. Is God glorified with your life? I'm not talking about sinless perfection tonight. We won't be sinlessly perfect till we get to heaven. But as far as you know, church, do you have a clear conscience before God that, to my knowledge, I'm where God wants me to be? I'm talking to every man, woman, child, or teenager tonight. Maybe child, maybe young children. It might be the fact that you're disobedient to mom and dad. The Bible says, God's not glorified with that. We can't go ahead and glorify God if we are disobeying mom and daddy in our body. That means, teenager, that we can't glorify God when we want to live in immoral and live in a wicked lifestyle and listen to the junk music that pumps the immorality in your mind so that you go out there and do it anyways. God's not glorified by that. I think what that does is that grieves God. That grieves God. My question tonight, the very fact, you know what? You get yourself into a place where you're usable. Be pliable. You get yourself to a place where you're sold out for God and to the best of your knowledge, you're in line with God and you allow him to go ahead and use you. Then you know what? You will glorify him. Again, I'm not talking, again, I'm not. Don't you leave here and say, well, the preacher's talking about, I have to be perfect. No. But you know what? We have what we call God the Father. Jesus said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know what? He left the Holy Spirit with you. If you're saved tonight, he should be right in here tonight. And he should be that great communicator that when we do veer off and when we do sin, he's right there. And he's a communicator, he's a convictor. And how often he has to say to this preacher, Sean, you idiot. Why did you do that? And I thank God tonight that I have a close enough relationship with God to be able to recognize his spirit when he whips me around a little bit. Listen. I parked right on this point tonight. We need to be usable. You get yourself to a point where you desire for God to use you. You know what? That desire to go your own way, that desire to live your own life will kind of be diminished when you totally say, okay, God, it's not my will, but thine. I talked about it in great length this morning. Being surrendered. I don't know why God just kind of, just being totally surrendered to him. When you totally surrender to God, it'll be very, 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 very hard to go ahead and take the wrong path. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against God." You know, that's not talking about you being sinlessly perfect. And is that, but I'm not talking about, that's not talking about you being sinless, one word. But you know what? You allow this word right here to hide in your heart. It'll cause you to, two words, sinless. You know what? I want to be used. Teenager, you know why I will go ahead and I'll stand firm? I want God to use you. I want God to go ahead and use you. You know why, child, young person, tonight, I'm going to just go ahead and stand firm. And yeah, the criticism, the cynicism, that's fine. That's fine. You know why? Because I want God to use you. And I hope, and don't take this wrong, I'm not boasting tonight. I hope and I pray that I'll be the kind of preacher and the kind of man of God that stands by the stuff, sticks by the stuff, and stands his ground, allowing God to use me that I can be a testimony so that you can be used. That's why I'm willing to stand my ground. You know, it's not always, by the way, it's not, you know, you want to stand your ground with your preacher. It won't be popular. I'm not worried about the crowds. I'm not going to worry about this and that and so forth and so on. I happen to think by looking around tonight and happen to think by looking around this morning and continual blessings all this year, God's doing pretty well. God's doing very, very well with the old-time religion. God's doing very, very well with the Word of God, the inspired King James Word of God. God's doing very well with the great hymns of the faith. God's doing very well with the young children want to get up and sing about having patience. I need to be at the altar later on just for that. I think we all could be. God's doing very well when you can go ahead and see teenagers up here. Sometimes I got to pry them, but I'll pry them because I love them, trying to pry some, getting some teenagers up here like they did Sunday night and singing, "I Have a Mansion Over a Hilltop." You know, God's doing very well. You know, God's not worried about his business at all, but the truth of the matter is, you know, I am held accountable to him on how this church is run and so forth, and I so desire, and I pray every day that, God, I want to be what you want me to be. God, I want to be used. Sometimes it's not fun, and sometimes it's not popular, sometimes it's not the greatest thing in all the world, but God, I say, God, just use me. Remember going down the highway, going to work, Dan Ryan, going to work in Chicago. My best friend was sitting beside me. He worked with me. We were talking. It was my last semester of college. And he's saying, "Well, Sean, get ready to graduate here in a month or so." I said, "Huh? Yep." He says, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Jer, I don't know. But he's in heaven tonight, and he knows I'm telling the truth when I say this." Tears came down my eyes. I said, "God, Jerry, all I want to do is be used of God. That's it. I want to have some sort of influence for the cause of Christ." We were talking today in the living room about the fruit that remains. Talk about the fruit that, man, they heard it and they stuck with it. And today, years later, you know what? They're still doing it. You know, if you came for the rest of the points tonight, who knows, whatever, I'm sorry. I just let the Spirit do the work. But you know, it's a wonderful thing. When you can stay in a place long enough to see young people that you've influenced go ahead and not always agree with what's preached behind the pulpit. When you see families that you've even influenced not always agree with the preacher, but you know what? That's my preacher and I'm going to listen to him. It's wonderful when you stay in a place long enough I'm not talking about from a preacher's view. You stay in a place long enough, you see them young people, they see your faithfulness. They don't look down the road and say, what happened, ever happened to so-and-so? But you stayed faithful. And you stayed true. You stayed on that route. You stayed in that ministry. You kept on raising your family. You kept on doing what you know God wanted. You stayed in that place that you claim is your place here at Faith Baptist Church, except for when a visitor is here. We could get on that for a little while. Somebody took my seat. Oh, what? Come on. I don't have time for that. Come on now. But the truth of the matter is, when you stay in your place, your faithfulness speaks volumes to those youngins that you may not think are watching. What did I do? You're faithful. That etched in their mind saying, you know what? That man, that lady, that family, with some of the things they went through and so forth, they can stay faithful to the word of God and preaching and the service and be loyal and all that. You know what? I think I can do that. I think I can do that. You know, it's nice when you get to stay in a place long enough that you see some of the young people whom you've influenced in some way, whether it be just you being in your spot, you teaching them, you watching them grow. They go to some conference. God gets a hold of their heart. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher's wife. They go off to Bible college, and they're serving God. That's the fruit that remains. You know what? I'd take, if that was, you know, and I can tell you of quite a few cases. I've been in ministry long enough to see that. And I'm seeing it here. You teenagers, you just keep doing right. God has a plan for you. You youngins, obey mama and daddy. Obey that Sunday school teacher. Do right. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. Desire to be used. Don't let the world abuse you. Devil like nothing more to take you teenagers and ruin your life. But you just decide, you know, I don't let the laugh, let the world laugh. Let the world go ahead and laugh. I'm gonna stay pure anyways. Let the world laugh. I'm gonna listen to the right music. I'm gonna sit right up front. I'm gonna listen to the man of God. I'm gonna make Bible my life. I'm gonna be in youth group. I'm just gonna do right. And let me tell you something, you'll never regret it. Little children, patch kids that I'll call them, you young kids, you just go ahead and you do right. Mom and dads, you be used of God right now. You live in such a way that your children see that you're real. My prayer is, God, I want to be real. Oh, I've got flaws. But I will go ahead and I'll hit an altar at any given time. Say, God, help me. But I want to be real. I want to be real. Be used. Paul, I got to be done. Maybe I'll pick up on this someday. But Paul, he was a mirror of what we ought to be. He wrote a big, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he wrote a big part of this Bible right here, which ought to be the mirror of how we ought to live. Paul was a thankful man. He was a surrendered man. He was a committed man. He was a prayerful man. And he was a man that said, God, use me. And that's all I had time for tonight. But you know what? I ask you again, that I asked you, as I asked you this morning, the character, them characteristics, are they in you? Are they in you? You got to reset the button. Some areas, I don't know what it is. Maybe you haven't, church, maybe you haven't talked to God in a long time. He says, enter into thy closet. When was the last time you shut off everything, and you went to God in prayer, you and him. I'm not talking about around the dinner table at supper time, Lord bless his food, amen, and eat. I'm not talking about that. That's not going to sustain you one bit. I'm talking about you and God. You and God shutting down everything. You know, so many people, they'll say, well, yeah, I have a prayer. You know, they'll go to some place that is tempted to go ahead and turn on the TV or whatever and have the internet or whatever. No. I'm talking about a place where you're secluded. You may have to go out in the back 40 somewhere, leave your phone, and if your phone, you forget to leave it, throw it somewhere, and it's let you and God meet. And you ask God, God, I got a big responsibility. I got children that I'm raising. I've got this class. I've got these responsibilities. God, use me. Help me to live in such a way that I can influence these young people so that they can be used of you. You surrender tonight? Are you committed to the will of God, teenager? Child, are you committed to doing what is right? I'm talking about obeying mom and dad. So that's where it starts, right there. Or do you go ahead and give mom and daddy the grief? No. You obey. I don't like, it doesn't matter whether you like it. It's just not fair. It doesn't matter whether it's fair. They're your mom and dad. You obey them. Hey, moms and dads, adults, these characteristics, only five that I mentioned tonight. Just something there that God's Holy Spirit's kind of, see that right there? Got to work on that area. And why don't you start at the altar? Why don't you start at the altar? Our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, I don't know why you did what you did tonight. We just covered a point of a big message. It was a message that touched this preacher's heart as I prepared it. God, I want these people. I love these people, and I want these people to be used. I want these young people to grow up and be right in your will. Holy Spirit of God, I pray whatever needs to be done tonight. I think there needs to be some decisions done tonight. I think there needs to be a flood of people. There's something in there, in some area that needs to be dealt with tonight. I pray that they won't just hold on to it, whatever the case. I pray, God, that they'll say, okay, God, here. God, use me. I know I can't be used until they and you know what it is. I pray, Lord, that whatever needs to be done tonight, that you do it. Our heads about, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing this evening. He only allowed me to go one point. But, you know, I just want you to know your preacher desires more than anything that all of us here are used. That's not a bad term. It's not a filthy term one bit. But whatever it is, you know, you can start moving, and the piano's going to just play very softly, just very, very softly, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit. But whatever it is, why don't you just, come on, just do some business tonight. Maybe you got to grab a hold of that spouse. Maybe you got to grab a hold of that family and say, okay, that's it.
Maybe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the zeal and the joy that we see in this ministry and in this church. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for his desire to be used of you tonight, Lord. And Father, thank you for the way that you move upon our church. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we take the words of this message this week and apply it to our daily living. That, Lord, we just not become forgetful hearers, but that we become doers of the word. And as we become doers, Lord, we see your glory. We see your joy. And, Father, we do the work that you've called us to do for our greatest desire and our greatest joy should be to be used of you. And so use us this week and help us to go forth in your power. And in your name, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.